سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا صدق الله العظيم. In our last session we talked about the first two ayahs of Surah Al-A'la. سَبِّحْ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ الْأَعْلَى. Glorify the name of your Lord, the highest. الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى. Who created everything, then He proportioned everything, perfected everything. We talked in detail about these two ayahs, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one point is just so that we can continue on the same subject, one point which is a very important point is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is asking us to glorify His name. And I mentioned these are two different things. One is glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself, and the second is glorifying His name. As I mentioned, He's so great that we have to really glorify His name in order to glorify Him. We cannot really get up to Him. And I mentioned three different ways of glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His name. The second thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in this ayah, الَّذِي خَلَقَ فَسَوَّى, the one who created everything, and then He has perfected everything, proportioned everything according to what it's needed. The third ayah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. Each and every ayah that we look into the Quran is a miraculous ayah, really. Of course, the whole book is miraculous. It's only sometimes we go too fast on it and we cannot realize the depth that is in the words of Quran al-Kareem. Each and every word is so perfectly put into that place that there is no way a person can pick up the dictionary and find a better replacement of the word over there. Now look, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is it that He's telling us in this ayah? وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. قَدَّرَ really means to fix something. In normal language, they use it for guesstimating something. That you guess and you estimate something, that this is how it may be. You bring a person, you ask him, I would like to build a building here. This is the map for it. This is all the drawings for it. What do you think it will cost? And that person will tell you, it should cost about $500,000. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدَّرْ. He have fixed everything. Which simply means, for human beings to fix something that will be happening tomorrow, it will be just a guesstimate. We make a contract amongst ourselves that I will be working for you for a year and you will pay me this much per month. This is only a guesstimate because who knows tomorrow whether I live or not, or you will live or not. And I will be able to work there or not, or you will be able to continue employing me or not. They're all guesses. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fixes something, His knowledge is such that whenever He tells us about the future also, that something is not a guess when it comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a fixed thing when it comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O human being, everything in your life is fixed. It's only you don't know it. But He says, Fahada, whatever He has fixed for us in this life, He's guiding us to those things in our life. And not only human beings. You take it from animals and any plants, anything in this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fixed things for everything in this world and have informed that thing in its inner soul what it needs. Without it, that thing cannot continue. Take a simple example of an animal. Say a goat. There is a small goat and there is a dog. Both of them are going together. And you will see on their way they found a bone. Both of them are hungry. You'll see the dog is running towards the bone. On the other hand, the goat will not go to it. We'll just leave it for the dog. And they go a little further and see a lot of grass and a lot of hay. The goat rushes to the grass and the dog just stays away from it. Sees the goat eating it and he's hungry also, but he knows that something he cannot eat. Fahada. This is what Allah says, Fahada, I guide it. Did the dog read any book of ingredients and food, what to eat and what not to eat? Or the dog or the goat have read any book about it? Or their moms have told them that these are the only things that you're allowed to eat and the rest of the things you won't eat? Where are they getting this information from? It might be that they have grown together. They were born together. They were grown together. And now, as they are grown together, they all together walk to the same thing, and one of them is eating it, the other one is not eating it. What told this animal inside him? Something is telling him that the dog, something is telling the dog, the grass is not for you. Something is telling the goat that this bone is not for you. Subhanallah. Qaddara fahada. Fixed everything, and He guided us to those things. I like another example which is beautiful. You have cheeks. And you get some of the ducks. And there are small babies of these chickens' cheeks, and you have some small babies of the duck. They all go to a pool. It's full of water. And now you will see all the baby ducks, they will jump into the water, and the cheek is standing at the side. What told this cheek that is not good for you? Even though you are just like them and you feel that when you look at each other, you feel that you play together, you are all the same. But when you come to the water, you know that you cannot go there. And they all know that, yes, we can go in there. We won't be drawn. And this one knows that I was drawn in there. What told that animal, that small animal, that this is what you have to do? This is good for you. This is bad for you. Qaddara fahada. He fixed things for everything in this world. And then He informed us in our inner soul what is good and what is bad. He told the animals what is good, what is bad. And He told the human beings also what is good and what is bad. That's in our inner soul. It's in our inner soul that we can really see this is good, this is bad. This is exactly what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in a hadith when he was asked, Ya Rasulullah, sometimes we have no knowledge of something, whether it's good or bad. So how can we decide? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Istafti qalbak. Look at the beautiful words coming from the Nabuwa, from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Istafti qalbak. Ask your heart. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, evil is something karihta an yattali'a alayhi an-nas. You don't want people to find out that you're doing it. You are giving yourself an excuse that I do it, that's fine, you know, it should be okay. You know, I don't think it's not allowed. I think it should be okay. But something is telling you you don't want people to find out. So this feeling that you don't want people to find out, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَكَرِهْتَ يَطَّلِعَ عَلَيْهِ النَّاسِ, is a feeling that tells you it's bad. This is the inner soul speaking to you now. Now, no matter what excuse we give to ourselves, this is why in another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَإِنْ أَفْتَاكَ النَّاسُ وَأَفْتَوْكَ, even though people keep on giving you the fatwa and they bombard you with the fatwas from all over the world that, you know, interest is halal and you can buy a house with it and this, your heart is telling you, you know it's not good. But you are saying to yourself, because that mufti said it's okay, this is why I'm doing it. وَإِنْ أَفْتَاكَ النَّاسُ وَأَفْتَوْكَ, even though people keep on giving you the fatwa, you know inside you that it's not good, don't go for it. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in the small ayah, Qaddar. He fixed things for us and He guided us. In other words, you get some computers. When you go and buy a computer, you will find a lot of softwares in there. And each software has a manual, but the person is not giving you a bunch of books. He says the manual is in the software. You click on that button, and there is a manual there. And you can read from there how to run the software and what are the things that you can do in the software. Same thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put that manual inside us. And we just click some buttons and think about it. Should I do it or not? And that right away you get the answer from inside. No, this is not good. Don't do it. This is our manual that's inside. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Wash-Shams, He takes an oath of 11 things. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. Ilham means to put something in someone's heart. Put it in that person's memory. If we talk in our language, in the computer's language, we may say that just install it in the memory, in the hard drive. Our heart is our hard drive. We install it there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. He has put it in your heart, in your hard drive. Fujur and taqwa. What is fujur? Bad. What is taqwa? What is good? Then from inside us, the thing speaks up. That this is bad, this is good. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us, وَالَّذِي قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. He has fixed things for us, and He has also told us what is good, what is bad for us. He guided us to those things. And believe me, all of us, whenever we are about to do something wrong, take a wrong step in our life, something inside tells us that this is not good. But most of the time we turn that feeling down because of our evil. And here I would like to remind you of something that we normally hear it and very common, but very rarely we pay attention to it. We always hear it in the khutbahs, and this was part of the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's khutbah, that he would always say, وَنَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شُرُورِ أَنفُسِنَا. We seek Allah's refuge from the evil of our souls. Why? Because this self that we have inside us, these desires that we have inside us, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing us through that information that He has put in our heart, what is good and what is bad, when that thing is, that feeling is telling us that this is bad, don't do it, from inside us, something tells us, our nafs tells us, our desires tell us, go ahead and do it, don't worry about it. That's why we have to seek refuge of our own desires. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if you do something wrong, don't blame it on anyone else. We are the one who deserve the blame on it. قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى, He have informed us, He guided us to those things. And it's only when we don't follow it, then we have to realize it's our mistake. As I don't think it was in the session very recently, someone was asking me this question, that I don't know who asked me the question, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said He will punish the disbelievers forever. So why is He going to punish them forever?
Why not for such a period of time and then get them out? I said to that person, the reason is very simple. We may think that this punishment, oh, it's too much, you know. But the thing and the matter of the fact is, the fact we see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have told us that if you do this, this is the punishment. If you won't believe in my prophets, if you will disobey me and my prophets, this is the punishment. You will be in the hellfire forever. The person says, yes, I don't care. I want to go that direction. Whose fault is this? There is a sign you see at the beginning of the road. That there is, at the end of the road, there is a big ditch over there. Don't take this direction. They close the road. And still you might find someone who wants to go on the side and just go from the sidewalk and still drive his car on the sidewalk and get into that direction. And he keeps on driving and finally falls into that ditch. Now people take him out and you go and visit him in the hospital and say, oh, that was so bad, so bad. They keep a hole in the, and he keeps on cursing at those people. You know, these people, they always make holes, big ditches in the on the roads. I don't know why they dig such big ditches in the in the roads. Yeah, and you favor him, mashallah. Yeah, that's true. You know, these people, they shouldn't do this. But wasn't there a sign? He says, no, there was a sign. I saw the sign too. So you saw the sign. And you were driving fast over there, and you knew that there is a ditch over there, and you fell in there, now you're cursing at those people. Whose fault was it now? Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing us, خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا نَارَ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. Again and again it's saying that the only way that you can save your soul is iman in Allah, believe in Allah, and believe in the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And every time, whenever, when Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam was there, iman in Allah, iman in Musa alayhi salatu was salam. Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam was there, iman in Allah, iman in Isa alayhi salatu was salam. And same thing with all the prophets. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came, the same rule applies, iman in Allah, iman in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now the person says, yeah, I know this is what Allah says, I know this is in that book. But, you know, we have been Christians for centuries. All of our relatives were Christians also. Or, we may think, many people don't even think about it. This is a problem by itself. This is a problem by itself that the person doesn't even want to think about the Creator and about religion. So what is he thinking about? What his worries are about in this life? All the worries are about how to earn, how to make a good life, be healthy, wealthy, have good family, and that's it, enjoy. But this is not the life of a human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us enough sense to understand that He did not create us for no reason and without any purpose. There is a purpose behind creating a human being and not making him like those animals who eat, drink, just like the same thing that we have assigned for ourselves. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has assigned for animals. That okay, then try to find the best shelter for themselves. They'll find another place which is better. They will go over there and sleep over there. They will try to find as much food as they can, go walk out in the morning and keep on eating up to the night, come back in the night and go to sleep and then wake up the next morning and go to work. That is what they do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the human beings senses to understand that our life has to be much more than that. It's worth much more than this. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing us, قَدَّرَ فَهَدَى. He has fixed everything and then He guided us also. Inside us, He has told us. وَالَّذِي أَخْرَجَ الْمَرْعَى. Now it looks like the subject is changing, but the subject never changes. Quran goes in one rhythm and continues. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِي أَخْرَجَ الْمَرْعَى. He is the one who brought out the pasturage, all the grass for animals, hay, all of this that the animals have to eat. فَجَعَلَهُ غُثَاءً أَحْوَى. Then he makes it dark stubble. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and is giving us a beautiful example, أَخْرَجَ الْمَرْعَى. He says, look at all of this pasturage that you see out there.
animals eat it. They destroy it. It grows up nice. Then, غُثَى أَحْوَى. أَحْوَى means black. Then, it gets destroyed, black. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us of a very important thing there. Human being, no matter how much he will grow in this life, one day he will be under the ground, just like you have seen nice grass. We all like to see the grass. Oh, and people are proud. We have such a big backyard. You know how nice green space we have. We all like to go and sit over there, have a good time sitting out there in the grass. And especially you talk to those people who are having farms, they love this grass because it's a means to nourish their animals. That's the food for their animals. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look at this beautiful thing. What happens to it in front of your eyes? Same thing, oh human being. No matter how big you grow, how nice you will look, inside or outside, what will be your position in the eyes of people? People will enjoy seeing you. One day, you will be back in the same position. You will be under the ground, insects throughout your body, and you will be coming into dust. These are all signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this life, He's showing us things that we will be facing. فَجَعَلَهُ غُثَاءً أَحْوَى سَنُقْرِئُكَ فَلَا تَنْسَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will make you read. سَنُقْرِئُكَ. We will make you read. فَلَا تَنْسَى. You will never forget. Illa ma sha Allah, except what Allah wills. This ayah has a great miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing him, سنقرئك, we will put the Quran into your heart. فلا تنسى, you will never forget. This is a great miracle. That just by receiving it through the revelation, he does not have to revise this. He will never forget it. And scholars also mention that سَنُقْرِئُكَ فَلَا تَنْسَى, as it is applicable to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is telling a continuous miracle that will continue in the ummah. That سَنُقْرِئُكَ فَلَا تَنْسَى, we will make you read and you won't forget. You memorize the Quran and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put it in your memory. Believe me, you read any other book. Sometimes I do it to myself. I find something very nice, a couple of pages, I memorize it. And you don't read it for a couple of weeks, that's it, it's gone. Now we have to think even how to stand. How did that stand? And you remember the first word, oh, I don't know what was after that. And here is the Quran. Sometime, people don't recite it for months. In fact, there are people who don't get a chance to recite from Ramadan to Ramadan. And next Ramadan, you will see him standing on the Musalla and he's reading Salat al-Tarawih. سَنُقْرِئُكَ فَلَا تَنْسَى. We'll make you read, you won't forget. Yes, we have to remember another fact. Quran is one of the fastest things people forget in the other sense, which is, if you don't keep on revising the Quran, you won't be able to keep it in the memory in the sense that you won't be able to continue read it. For example, if I'm driving the car and I haven't read the juz for a month or for a couple of months, then as I'm reciting the juz, I will have to think, whether it was Ya'lamun or Ta'lamun, Alim or Hakim, we'll have to think about all of this. And a lot of mistakes will be there. But as I go back to revise it, all of that memory comes back. And then the person gets it back to memory. So this is a continuous miracle of Quran also. سَنُقْرِئُكَ, will make you read, and you will never forget. Basically, it was the miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he used to receive it through wahi, through revelation in his heart, and he never forgets it. But the second thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the next ayah is even more amazing. He said, you won't forget, and now he says, illa ma sha Allah, except what Allah wills and what Allah wants you to forget. What is this now?
there were some ayahs revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They revealed only for a certain period of time. Then those ayahs were abrogated. Now, if the ayahs are abrogated, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam might be informed that this ayah was abrogated. So this ayah that he used to recite at that place is not there anymore. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam don't recite it anymore. But a person who has memorized it, and now he's reading the salah, for example, or just reciting it, he may forget when he gets to that ayah that, oh, this was abrogated. To keep the record of that in our memory, that these are the ayahs that are abrogated, I'm not supposed to recite it anymore, is not an easy task. That as soon as you get to the ayah, you will remember after you have memorized it for such a long time. Okay, say Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will remember, and Allah blesses him with such a memory that he will remember as soon as he comes to that ayah, it will click to his mind, this ayah is abrogated. But how about the other people? All the other sahaba who have memorized it. They won't know. Some of them have migrated from Medina. They have gone too far away from Medina. In the ninth year of Hijrah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is receiving a revelation that the first year of the Hijrah, the ayah that was revealed and you recited in that prayer is abrogated now, so you are not supposed to recite it. How can he send a message to each and every person who have heard it from him? He doesn't even know how many people have memorized it. Illa masha'Allah answers that question. It says in the hadith, it was a miracle. Whenever an ayah was abrogated, it was erased from the memory of all the people. It was erased from the memory of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and all the sahaba rizwanullahi alayhim ajma'in. So next day when they recite the Quran, they are reciting it just as they normally would recite it, and they will not be reciting that ayah. They won't even know that I am missing that ayah because it was just out of their memory. That's it. Blank. Subhanallah. He controls that. Normally we sit with our keyboard and we think, you know, I can do all of these things in my computer. And sometimes we doubt the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't need that keyboard to run all of these memories that we have in ourselves. Makes everyone who have memorized the ayah forget it, back space, and the rest of the ayahs go up, and that's it. Now next day you recite, no one in the Medina is reciting that ayah, and no one is telling others that you're wrong, you're missing an ayah. Everyone just got it blank, forgotten from their memory. It says in the hadith, at night time they used to go with an ayah, next morning the ayah will be forgotten, miraculously the ayah will be out of their memory, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be receiving a revelation saying that this ayah is abrogated, so therefore it's out of everyone's mind now. He would be informed that this ayah is out of everyone's mind, and next morning no one knows that ayah. سَنُقْرِئُكَ فَلَا تَنْسَى will make you read, you will never forget. إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ except what Allah wills, He will make you forget, and all of you will forget. Therefore, we don't find any difference of opinion that Sahaba are saying, no, this ayah was supposed to be in Quran, the other ayah was supposed to be in Quran. No differences. Everyone just forgot.
إِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ الْجَهْرَ وَمَا يَخْفَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we shouldn't doubt this power of Allah. إِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ الْجَهْرَ He knows what's apparent for us. If it's not in text, we won't know what's in there. But إِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ الْجَهْرَ He knows what's up front, apparent. And He knows أَخْفَى وَمَا يَخْفَى whatever is hidden. So he can go back to the mind, and He knows what's in the mind. He can erase it from the mind, and no one will even know that what was erased from there. وَنُيَسِّرُكَ لِلْيُسْرَى
Again, other miraculous ayah. Normally, the translators have translated this ayah as, we will make the path easy for you. Something similar to this effect they have translated this ayah.
Here, the translation that I have is from Pictel, says, and we shall ease the way unto thee, unto the state of ease.
what simply all of them are translating it in such a way that at least we get the message. Because if we really translate the ayah the way it's put, it has been put in the Arabic language, we will have a lot of difficulty understanding the real meaning of it. So the translators are saying, "Wa nuyassiruka lil yusra," means we will make the ease, which means the right path, hidayah, easy for you. But this is not really what the ayah says. I'll break the ayah down into small words so all of us can understand really what the ayah is saying. Nuyassiru means we will make easy. Nuyassiru, yusra. Yusra means ease. فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرَى. So yusra means ease. We will make easy. What? All the translators are saying that we will make the path easy for you. This is not what the ayah is saying. The ayah is saying نُيَسِّرُكَ. Ka means السلام عليك. كيف حالك. You. We will mold you. In other words, we can say that Allah is saying, I will mold you, I will make you easy. Lil yusra, so that you can follow the path easy. One is making the path easy. The second is molding us in such a way that the path becomes easy for us. Irrespective of what comes on our way. We get molded in such a way that we just get into it. If you have a bottle, this is the glass. I want to put the tape recorder in there. It doesn't go in there. The tape recorder doesn't go in there because there is no enough space for it. Same amount of water, I throw it in there and it goes into the glass. Why? It's liquid. It makes its way inside it. It's not hard to get into the glass, but it's only for a thing that looks bigger than the glass, the opening of the glass. If you have a small bottle and you want to put something small into the bottle and the mouth of the opening of the bottle is smaller, that thing won't go in there. And much larger amount of water than that will go into the bottle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have molded us in such a way, He made us in such a way that whatever Islam says, if we want to get in there, we are molded in such a way that we'll just get in there. Just like a liquid that gets into any place. وَنُيَسِّرُكَ. We will make you easy. It's not we will make that easy for you. We will make you easy and make you in such a way that you will get in there. So in other words, you know what this simply means? Instead of making Islam fit to us, we will fit to Islam. Many people would like to change Islam to fit to them. So they don't like to change themselves, they like to change Islam so that Islam will become easy and it will fit to them. Allah says no. You ease yourself and mold yourself in such a way that you fit to Islam. Don't bring Islam to fit to you. You mold yourself and go to Islam so that you can fit to that Islam. Don't go to Islam with your dress and tell Islam, please accept this from me. Bring Islam dress on you and then apply it on you and you fit to Islam. Don't try to say, as I remember once, I was talking to a brother and we were talking about having a meeting and he says, you know, I really cannot wake up for Salat al-Fajr. It's too difficult for me. مَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجٍ. Allah never make deen difficult for you. So it's difficult for me to wake up for Fajr. I wake up 10 o'clock and I do my Salat al-Fajr. MashaAllah. So we are trying to bring Islam up to us and just fit it on us. Just whatever way we are, we make Islam want Islam to look like us. Allah says no. See this Islam? This is what Islam is. This is what Quran is. This is what Sunnah is. Mold yourself and put yourself into Islam so that you will look what Islam is. You don't want Islam to look what you are. This is the problem of today. We want Islam to look of what we are. I don't want to say I don't like Islam. I don't like things in Islam. I love Islam. And I can stand in the minbar and I keep on taking oath that I love Islam. But my path of the love of Islam is I want Islam to come to me, and then I will tell Islam what is good and how to look. And then I will tell the non-Muslims, this is what Islam is about. Whatever you see in me, that's Islam. I'm a Muslim and this is what Islam is about. Sahaba Rizwanullahi alayhim ajma'een, instead of taking the Islam and trying to fit it on their lives, they started molding their lives and fitting it into the Islam. And in no time, their lives were such that you look at their lives and you can tell that this is what Islam is about. They did not need pamphlets, booklets, audio tapes, video tapes, TV shows to tell people what Islam is about. Very simple for them. Go to the masjid, sit in the masjid, whatever people are doing in the masjid, that's Islam. You like it, this is what it is. You don't like it, you don't like Islam. Today we are afraid to bring people to masjid. We will give them, quickly bring them to the masjid, make them sit in one of the small rooms of the masjid so that he won't see what's going on in the masjid, especially if God forbid he comes on a day when we have a meeting. And we will give him a couple of flyers, some brochures, some tapes. Brother, go and see these things. This will tell you what Islam is. So next day, he might have a question. Okay, I have read the books. I want to see. Where is it? So we tell him, no, read some more books. I don't have a space to show anywhere to show it to you. If we look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's time, Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in captured the leader of one of the groups. His name was Thumama bin Affan. When they brought him to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this was a man who had killed many Muslims. When Muslims used to pass by the town, they used to kill all of those Muslims. So when they brought him to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to tell him what Islam is about. Subhanallah. Before punishing the man, before saying anything to the man, he wanted him to realize that the thoughts you are carrying about Islam are wrong. This is why you are doing all of these things. If you will have the right understanding of Islam, then you would never do what you have been doing. So he tied him up with one of the pillars of the masjid. So that person day and night is staying in the masjid. They bring him his food in the masjid. He goes to the bathroom. They take him to the bathroom. They bring him back. He's tied with the pillar of the masjid, with a rock and a pillar of the masjid, so he sleeps over there and over. First day, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after one day he went to this man, he's tied up with he's sitting by one of the pillars of the masjid. And of course, he's watching closely everything that goes on in the masjid. He says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, what do you think now? What should I do with you? He said, Ya Muhammad, in taqtul taqtul zadamin. If you would kill me, you would be killing a person who deserves to be killed. Because I have killed many Muslims. وَإِن تُنْعِمْ تُنْعِمْ عَلَى شَاكِرٍ. If you would let me go, you will be favoring a person who will be grateful. وَإِن كُنْتَ تُرِيدُ الْمَالِ فَسَلْ مِنْهُ مَا تَشَاءُ. If you need any wealth, then ask for whatever you need. Compensation. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not reply to this man. He just went and he did the salah and went back. Second day he asked him the same question and he replied the same thing. Continued for 3 days, and third day Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhi wa sallam, just let him go. That's it. This is enough. Let him go now. As soon as they opened him up, he went out, took a shower, came back, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Did someone teach him what Islam was about? He read any books? He sang audios and visuals? Nothing. All he saw was what was going on in practical life in the house of Allah, in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Seeing that was enough to convince him that Islam is the right way of life. This is what we are lacking. So they molded themselves in such a way that they will fall into Islam. They did not want to mold Islam to fit to their lives. وَنُيَسِّرُكْ. We will mold you. Not وَنُيَسِّرُ الْإِسْلَامِ. وَنُيَسِّرُكْ. We will mold you. We will make you easy in such a way that you will fit into this Islam. This is what we need to do. That put ourselves in such a way that everything in Islam that we see in there, we fit over there. And it seems that this thing was made for us. This thing was made for us. And it really fits exactly on us. Everything of Islam should be in such a way that it seems that we are made in such a way that this is the thing. Oh, this is something that I was missing. And this is what fits on my life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is something very important that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, small words. Of course, as I said, if the translators would translate it right, no one will understand. What is it that we will make you easy for the ease? Doesn't make right understanding, doesn't give a right, deliver the right message when we translate it into that language. So therefore, they try to give the message and translators will say, we will make the path easy for you. But the ayah is saying, we'll make you easy for that path. So that you will fit into that path. فَذَكِّرْ إِن نَفَعَتِ الذِّكْرَى. So you should always remind people. Always remind. If reminders have any help. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in other ayah of Quran al-Kareem says, that reminder, فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَى تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Reminder will always help believers. There is no way that reminders will not help the believers. Keep on reminding, فَذَكِّرْ. Keep on reminding. Reminder always helps the believers. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has assigned that responsibility to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is one thing that we have to see in ourselves, that if a person is reminding us, and we get reminded about our iman, about our deen, and someone, something inside tells us, sometime we get the reminder and then we forget it after a couple of minutes. At least this is a sign of iman, that we felt at that time that what I'm doing is wrong. Later on we forget, this is from shaitan, from our nafs. We hope Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will correct us. But if we see ourselves at the time of hearing the reminder, we say to ourselves, this is not right, I don't want to do it, and this is too strict, this is like this. That should tell us that, God forbid, instead of iman, there is nifaq. It's full of hypocrisy then. So we have to realize, and this is something for ourselves, no one can judge others. We have to judge ourselves if when we hear the ayahs of Al-Quran, when we hear the reminders from ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether those reminders are helping us or not. If at least for a moment that reminder makes us think about ourselves, that I would like to change and become a better mu'min and really do what is right, alhamdulillah, we should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the iman that we carry in our hearts. Inshallah, we will continue with the next session after the salah. Of course, we will have to continue with this in our next session. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.